All right, it's time for the pre-show, and we're doing the pre-show after the show. How about that? That's right. This is a pre-show that we're recording after we did the thing. How does that happen? Sometimes I sit down in the studio and I just start to, and I break right into the show, and I don't do a pre-show. I just do the show, and then later I pretend like I'm doing a pre-show. This is actually an after-show. Bobby and I. Jackie, that's your new nickname. Jackie and I watched The Irishman. I'd seen it, but I didn't tell her that I had, because she cannot stand watching movies that I've already seen. But I liked it so much, I said, no, I've never seen it. So, you know, so we watched it. She loved it. It was even better the second time. There's a million things that I missed in The Irishman. Good movie. I mean, who knows? You know, it's speculation. The character played by Robert De Niro is based on a real person. Is Frank Sheeran, is that his name? Who claimed that he was the guy that assassinated Jimmy Hoffa, but we don't know. Al Pacino plays Jimmy Hoffa. Stephen Graham, the British actor that you may remember from a lot of, I remember Stephen Graham from The Gangs of New York and some other things. He plays Tony what is that guy? Anthony Provenzala, or whatever the fuck his name is. He was a very heavy guy. Excuse me, I don't mean any disrespect. In the Mafia. But he was terrific. Let's see, who else they have? Just all the cat, Joe Pesci, you know, his usual brilliant self. I don't know, you know. It's such a guy movie. But, you know, excuse me. Talk about a guy movie. There's Jackie digging on it. Because it's a story about life, even though centers around a male universe, more or less. But there were pivotal moments there. Jimmy Hoffa, or excuse me, this guy Frank Sheeran's daughter wouldn't speak to him. In fact, his daughters, according to this film, Frank Sheeran had four daughters who would not go to him with any problem. They would not go to him really with anything happening in their lives. They were afraid of the retribution that he would mete out on anybody that fucked with his family. They were afraid of the violence that he would create against anyone that he perceived was fucking with his family, and his kids didn't want that. And in one scene, his daughter says, "You don't know. We never came to you with our stuff. We never came to you with our problems. Because if we did, we knew what you were going to do, and we didn't want to be a part of it. We didn't want to be responsible for it." That's kind of an interesting, I don't know whether that's based on anything for real. I think this guy, Frank Sheeran, either wrote a book or he had one ghostwritten, or there was an extensive interview done with him. But I really liked it. They have the whole, and according to this movie, this Frank Sheeran guy was there at the assassination of Joey Gallo, who was a well-known, you know, mafia member, and he was assassinated in, 4:30 in the morning near a clam house in Manhattan, and it was horrible because he had his 11-year-old daughter with him, which I think is pretty horrifying. What else did they? And then they had this guy Sheeran, obviously, assassinating Jimmy Hoffa, and he was all, like every pivotal moment, every big moment in the history of the organized crime of La Cosa Nostra, whatever you would call them, the Mafia, in the latter half of the 20th century, maybe the last 20, 30 years of the 20th century, he was there, which is kind of funny if you think about it. All right. So on our pre-show, I mean on our show today, we're going to have David G. Hall, me, Elcott, Bugs Wilcott, I should say, and Bobby Duda, all of us arguing about whether Bobby should have her own show, One Week in the Life of the Badoo, where she talks about how people worship her ass. Anyway, that is that, Jack. So we're going to do that, man. Let me see something here, man. Isn't it time for me to do another video for the for Instagram? I think it is. Hey, wait a minute, man. I just saw a guy that I know. Where are you, dude? Follow back. Yeah, man. Hey, Adam. Where you at, man? There he is. Adam Montiel. Good. Great guy. He's a guy from San Luis Obispo, California. And he's very, very proud of his... where he lives, and he's proud of his the wine up there in the Central Coast. A lot of wine in the Central Coast. A lot of wine here in the Well, not a lot, but what is this guy? This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen, man. Santa Barbara has wine. It's wine country now, and I don't know what they got, man, up in the Central Coast. You know, things are kind of cold and foggy up there. Maybe they do Rieslings up there. Isn't that Riesling a cold, cold weather grape? I'll have to see what we have locally here in Ventura County. And then Adam Carolla, I went to his show a couple times, and as a parting gift when I was on Adam's show, he's a great guy, he's a generous man, I had no idea, Adam, that you had your own wine, dude. You have your own wine. So one of these nights here on these very Phil Hendry Show Wi-Fi waves, I'm going to sit here with a bottle of Adam Carolla wine and get shit-faced and do a show like that. I don't know what I'll be proving. It's kind of juvenile, though, isn't it? Yeah. But anyway, Adam has... I haven't had it yet, Adam. I've got it's up there in a little wine rack that we have. It looks... One looks like a blush, meaning a combination of a white and a... A blush is a rosé that is... Is that like with a white wine and a rosé mixed together? I don't fucking know. but I'll see what Adam's got there. My wine, when I drank wine, I don't drink wine anymore. Maybe I ought to go back to drinking wine. Maybe that's my problem. Too much goddamn tequila. Maybe a good, rich Bobby. Here I go again with Jackie and Bobby. Jackie, you're morphing into Bobby, or Bobby's morphing into you. I don't know what it is. Jackie is a white wine drinker. Like a lot of, you know, I don't mean to say, I don't want you to stereotype anybody, but every female I know, practically. My ex-wife, Maria, drank red. But I'm the guy that turned her on to it because I think she's a white wine drinker. Then I came along with the Cabernet Sauvignon kind of shit. And she goes, oh. And I found some fucking, a couple of great, my favorite winery in Napa was Sequoia Grove. I don't even know if they're still around. I found them when I was up there in the late 90s. I bought their wine in the 80s. Claus Dubois, of course, Claus Duval. Sequoia Grove, Cabernet Sauvignon. I drink the Cabernet Sauvignon and I'll drink what is the other shit? Merlot? I don't know. But that's back when we all did drink wine. Now, when I was very young, when I was just starting out in life, I was drinking that shit Chablis and smoking weed. That's what we did. We'd smoke weed and drink Chablis, or smoke weed and drink like Red Mountain wine. What the fuck were we thinking? How fucked up do you want to get tonight? Let's smoke a bunch of joints and, oh yeah, here's a big fucking jug of Red Mountain wine. Help! You know, I tell you what, man. I couldn't be a parent, and I think this is why I never became a parent, because I wouldn't be able to sleep knowing the kids were out there getting into shit every bit as much as I did. You know, I wouldn't be able to sleep until I got home. And what kind of a parent would that be? Some oppressive, overbearing, smothering motherfucking parent, you know? Sooner or later, you got to let the kids fall off the fucking handlebars or fall off the jungle gym. But by the same token, you got to protect them. So you got to sit down with them and tell them what the fuck is out there. All of the temptation. Nobody sat me down and told me shit. My parents, by the time I was a young man out in the world, my father was gone. My poor mother was in the throes of depression. I couldn't get out of that fucking house fast enough. And I'm not blaming anybody. I'm saying that was the reality, you know. but I wandered right out smack dab into a world full of what it was full of. And by the grace of you know who, I guess, I don't know, I'm not a big one on God, but my own wits, my intelligence told me, don't go through that door, Phil. You know, that's how it went for me. And I'm not saying that I stayed out of trouble. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that I made it through those years with a minimum of trouble. And I think it's because what little I learned from my folks, what little I learned from life, I would look and I'd say, don't do it, man. Don't do it, man. You know, do something else. Just get out of here. Get leave. You know, walk out of here if you have to. I can tell you, more than once I walked, because I didn't have a ride. I came with somebody. I would walk out of someone's party, just split, because it was no fucking good what was going on. And I knew it was going to sort of spin out of control. I walked out of that motherfucking house, I did it more than once, and just hoofed it down to the fucking main boulevard and hitchhiked my ass home. Okay, enough of that bullshit. Let's get into the show. Do we do David? No.